All right, everybody. Welcome to the 11 o'clock call. It's the 10th of August. This is module 9 of SBCA. If that's what you were planning on, you're in the right place. It's really nice to see everyone. We are heading into the kind of last couple of modules. And I just wanted to kind of like bring us up to date, sort of like where we are. So we spent the first three modules looking at the kind of theoretical underpinnings and the psychology behind this approach that we're taking. We spent three modules looking at self-doubt and how it shows up, the root causes of it, where it's come from, the damn good reasons for it, and how to work with our clients to investigate and explore where their self-doubt came from, looking at different ways that we can interpret that from our current healthy adult selves. We spent a module on how self-doubt shows up for us as coaches in our practices and in our businesses. And in these last three modules, in conflict and in the compass and in the module 10, which is all about courage-based planning and achieving goals, these last three are really about how to activate self-belief resources, right? So how to work with cultivating self-belief in all its forms with our clients. So module 9 is a nice old meaty one. It's the biggest module. There's lots of tools in it. Please don't feel overwhelmed. Please don't open that up and go, holy crap, this is a whole new concept and there's lots in it and there's so many tools and I'm never going to, you know, get through all of this in 2 weeks. Because exactly right, you're exactly right, you won't get through this in 2 weeks. But the idea is that we are starting to play with what does it mean to draw out self-belief, self-acceptance, self-worth and self-trust for our clients. How do we help them to access that, to rest in it, to start to have those qualities, those resources be part of their everyday life? How do we use those aspects of who they are to start to make choices and decisions and take action to think and feel from those resources? Hopefully where it starts getting a bit more fun, right? We're kind of moving out of the way that self-doubt holds us back and really starting to help our clients feel good in the moment, feel good in the session so that they can then in between sessions take different action. The reason that we do this as module 9 and not module 1 is because it's just too damn early if we haven't looked at the reality of self-doubt, right? We need to spend some time exploring the very good reasons why our clients are holding themselves back so that when they do start taking action and in module 10, as we start looking at, you know, creating goals that are exciting for them and taking action to achieve those goals, you can imagine that if you're kind of overwhelmed with self-doubt and then you start taking action on a plan and you inevitably meet an obstacle without any other sense-making abilities, you'll very understandably go, sod this, and walk away. Or blame yourself for not only not being able to do the thing that you're doing, but to kind of quit or to give up or feel like there's something wrong with you. So we wait until we've worked with our clients usually for a little while before we start using these kinds of tools. That's not always the case, but what I've tried to do is structure the program so that it kind of follows the natural track, if you like, of a coaching engagement of 6 to 10 seconds. So we're going to spend today exploring module 9. I'm going to share my little screeny thing. A little bit of prep for you. So we're going to spend today looking at like the purpose of this module, what it offers us. We're going to spend today looking at your compass, you as in everyone who's here, your specific compass. And next week we're going to turn the tables and look at this through the lens of your clients, right? So I'm going to coach one or two of you today using some of the tools. If you have time, and you may or may not, you can look at the other calls from today and you'll start to see most of the tools demonstrated, right? But what I want you to really take from today is these are sort of ways to access the healthy self resources with the clients. So they're all tools that I've developed over the last decade. It's not rocket science. I want to give you full permission to start thinking about how can I use this stuff for my clients? What's missing for my clients? How can I expand and change these create my own tools using these concepts, using these ideas, right? So the idea is to really get your creative juices flowing here so that you start to see, working with people and helping them create self-belief is completely accessible, something I can completely do. And we'll set some homework for practice pods as well. Okay. So this is going to be quite an interactive session. I will be asking for volunteers to get coached. So just kind of have that in the back of your mind. Both people who volunteered in the 8 a.m. call said, oh, my hand just went up involuntarily. I really don't want coaching, but I'm going to do this anyway. And it was lush. So yeah, that might be you too. All right. So let's talk a little bit about like the aims of this, what we're trying to do here. So here's a basic principle. As self-belief coaches, we unconditionally believe in the client's healthy self. Right. We know that they have a part of them that is deeply healthy and can access and cultivate resources like self-belief, self-acceptance, self-worth, and self-trust. Like we just know that every single client we work with has those qualities, has those resources within them. Now, our clients may not see those qualities in themselves, may not believe that they have them, may feel like that's a very sort of far away from their lived experience right now. And one of the metaphors I use in the compass is this idea that sometimes these qualities are kind of seeds in the soil, right? They're not, there's no green shoots. There's no visible representation in the client's life that they do have self-worth, for example. They may in fact be acting in a way that makes them believe they don't have any. But we know as self-belief coaches that they have that capacity. It's a seed in the soil and we can work with them to help draw that out. Yeah. Equally, it doesn't really matter, in my experience, how well developed these qualities are. These tools can help support you. So just this morning, actually, I was looking at something that's been coming up for me. I do a little practice each morning. And I've got this recurring thing that's been coming up for me. And I looked at it today and I was like, I can totally see that I'm using like one of the tools. So, you know, I've been working with this stuff for a long time and I still use these approaches. So I really want you to have that kind of playful, accessible, let's give this a go, experimenting energy with these tools, right? This is a great opportunity for you to say to a friend who's brought some challenge to you or have up your sister-in-law and say, hey, I'm doing this thing. Can I practice this on you? And let it be fun, right? Because these are the tools that people love to do. I've also used these tools for many years with one-to-one clients, but also in groups, right? Also in big groups. So I used to run a one-day workshop called Write Yourself Home. And in that, we created three maps. And one of them was a life map. The second one was the heart map that's in the Compass tool set. And people love doing this in groups, right? They love the kind of like, oh, let me see yours. Let me see what sense you're making of that. So these are tools that can be used in groups, one-to-one. You can add to this tool set. All of that is up for grabs. So hopefully you have seen this before. This is our coaching framework. And what you are looking at here is, as we're coming to module 9, is you're starting to see that this is really familiar, right? So in the outer circle here, we've got the 12 archetypes, right? If you're living in this outer circle, your clients are living in this outer circle, they're probably living with these archetypal beliefs and behaviors, these patterns of beliefs and behaviors where self-doubt's kind of in charge. They may have some insight into these protectors, right? The martyr, the scapegoat, the bystander, and the critic. As you move closer in to the healthy self, you'll see that you get access to way more resources, way more healthy self resources. So the healthy adult self is like the coordinator of our self-belief, self-acceptance, self-worth, and self-trust. It decides, like, what's the best thing to lean into right now? What do I need to listen to? What would support me? And the healthy self takes care of the protector, right? So it takes care of all those protective beliefs and survival strategies and ideas about beliefs and behaviors that kind of hold you back. The healthy adult self takes care of the protector and accesses these other resources that you see written down here. It understands that each of these have a shadow. It understands that that this is all connected to those outer ring with the archetypes. But the idea is that the closer you get to the healthy self, the more that you and your clients stay in that kind of central core self, the more that you're able to make choices that really support you. Right, that you're able to interrupt that self-doubt loop. Instead of getting all caught up in the resisting behaviors, you're able to get yourself out, right? So the aim of this compass metaphor, these four qualities of self-belief, self-trust, self-worth, and self-acceptance, the three R's, basically, that we want the client to feel. Reassured, self-doubt is never created in a vacuum. It's always there for a damn good reason. And I don't know how many times you've heard me say that, right? But always there because of a good reason. We want to help them to be reflective, right? To actually take a step out of their experience and to help them make sense of it, right? To pull apart what's actually going on and to organize their minds around it, organize their hearts around it so that they can see, oh, okay, I have some choices here. Right. And most importantly, to feel resourced, to be able to lean into their healthy self and the healthy self resources to take the next step. Not necessarily an action. It might be about experiencing an emotion. It might be about being something a bit more. So it's feeling, it's being, it's thinking, feeling, saying, doing as much as it is like really taking action. Okay, so those three R's are really what the aims are for our work around helping our clients develop self-belief. Notice we're not fixing anything, right? We're not solving problems necessarily with our clients. We are helping them to figure this out, supporting them to figure this out, because we know that they have these resources available to them. Make sense? Cool. So one of the things that happens when we start leaning into this healthy self is that the client is able to access those parts, right? So even if they don't necessarily feel like, you know, I don't really think I trust myself. I question myself all the time. By helping them in our session to access their self-trust, for example, they get to see that it does exist, it is there. We're reflecting that back for them. So we are kind of acting almost as the voice of their healthy self, helping them to internalize that so that they can see that that is something that they can access themselves. We're also showing clients that they are always in choice, no matter what happens. They're always in choice about what they think and feel and say and do, which is all that any of us can really control. because these are our aims, you know, we're getting our clients to feel reassured, to reflect and to feel resourced. So they're leaning into these parts. They're seeing that they're in choice. It means that self-belief coaching takes on a bit more of a different expanded outcome, right, to more solution-focused coaching that I've seen. And what that means is that the client, through working with a self-belief coach, one of you, they're going to grow their awareness of their survival strategies and protective beliefs and behaviors, all those patterns that kind of make up their self-doubt archetype or archetypes. They're going to start to understand exactly how this shows up and why, right? And it means that our work helps them to positively impact their sensitivity to those perceived psychological risks. But they're getting out of that loop much faster. Instead of following those patterns, they get to interrupt themselves. Hang on a freaking minute. We're not doing that anymore. That's right. I get where this story comes from. I've already made sense of that. I can see there's a temptation to follow the old way, but I'm going to do something different. And I've already thought about what that different thing is. Over time, it means that the client's self-concept expands. Their automatic responses start coming from their healthy self. Right? So we're not just doing like point solution type coaching where it's like, you know, this has happened, let's figure it out, and then boom, you're off and back in your life. We're actually helping the client to think and feel differently about their lives, to observe how their interpretations and meaning making are impacting what's showing up in their life, and to make conscious choices to do that in a way that actually supports them. So, good stuff. this has really positive impacts. So what I really want to demonstrate for you today is to just help you see like how I coach folks in these tools. All right, there's about, I think there's 8 or 9 tools, there may be 10. Shauna counted them for me, but I forgot to check in with you. But there's around about 8 or 9 tools for the compass. Quite a lot, right? We're not going to get through all of those, but what I wanted to demonstrate is just the approach I take to this and how that sort of looks and feels. And this will, I'm hoping, give you a little bit of a spur to think, okay, cool, I'm going to go try this out. I'm going to go practice this either with a client, a friend, or, you know, some willing stranger who wants to sort something out in their lives. So normally when we're working with clients, right, we'll send out some kind of invitation before a session that says, hey, what do you want to work on today? What's come up in the last couple of weeks or whatever? How can I support you best today? What, dear client, would you like to cover? Like we're doing ourselves that kindness by helping ourselves prepare for our time with a client. Usually that's an automated message that gets sent out. But we're also giving the client the opportunity to kind of get intentional about what they want to cover off in a session. We're not going to do that today with us, right? Because you've just arrived here. So we're going to gather some of that raw material now. So I'm going to take you through a couple of reflection questions. And this may be something that you just use when you're talking with clients to help them really pinpoint what's going on for them. So I've got 4 reflection questions. We're just going to take a few moments to kind of gather our raw material. And then I'm just going to ask for a couple of volunteers for coaching. And we'll use the compass tools to figure out how to help. Okay, so just to start us off, I want you to just consider, what are the main challenges, dilemmas, decisions you have in going on in your life right now? In your business, your relationships, your work, your coaching practice. What's going on for you right now that just feels unresolved or is hanging around? a few things you're noodling on and just kind of bullet point list them. You've all got lots of juicy stuff going on. That's brilliant. So when you're ready, just reflect on your list and just choose one that you want to explore a little bit deeply today. It doesn't have to be the hardest thing, but it can be, right? It can be whatever feels like insurmountable or something that you feel like, oh, this would just unlock something for me. So just choose one of your challenges. Worry about overthinking it. Okay, so now that you've got your challenge, I want you to write a sentence for yourself. My current challenge is, and then name it, like bottom line it for yourself. What is the real thing that's the problem? My current challenge is. It's a real skill to bottom line it, bottom line things. Okay, so everyone got a sense of my current challenge is, it phrases a sentence. Next, there's four reflection questions. So first one is my current challenge is. Second one is I wish I was able to what? What do you wish you were able to do instead or differently or to solve this? Okay, third question. The reason this is a challenge is. And the final reflection question. When I think about this challenge, my protector believes what? when I think about this challenge, my protective belief, what? Alrighty, who is feeling like they want some support to figure this shit out? Put your hand up. We'll probably have time for two people. So, Jamie, you're first. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about this.
Told me about this. I love it.
This is a sticky one, so.
Oh, well, let's see where we get to, right?
Yep.
So, can you like share the sort of bottom line of this challenge for you right now?
The challenge for me is around using dating apps and actually using them.
Right.
I have profiles, and but I'm not swiping, and I'd like to. And specifically, I feel fine about meeting people in person, but when does that ever happen? Honestly, like before the pandemic, that wasn't happening either. Cause I guess this is the world we live in now. So yeah.
Okay. I'm loving it. This is a sticky one. I love it. I'm just going to bring up my screen share. Do you think this sits in terms of the compass? Like where's the compass feeling jittery for you? Is this about self-worth, self-trust, self-belief, self-acceptance?
Self-acceptance, I guess, because I think it's about, what did I write down? Yeah. I mean, I think it's about a belief or lack of belief that anyone would want me in a genuine way. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can see that, and I can see that there's a kind of relationship with self-trust here as well.
Hmm.
Right? Like kind of trusting that you can be with whatever happens.
True.
But I can totally see that. And this is the thing, right? The compass works as a system. So wherever we're at, there's always going to be a connection with the other elements. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And self-belief, right? Envisioning the future you want with perhaps a partner, maybe two, maybe more, right?
Right.
maybe you want to play the field for a while, right?
I love the way you think, Sass.
Yeah, I'm open as anything. Let's not limit ourselves to just one.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about self-worth as well, like taking up some space, right? Being able to say, hey, this is okay, this is not okay for me.
Yes. Yes, all of those things.
Yep. All of the things, right? Yeah. And I guess this is the beauty of this work, is that it's always all of it, right? Mm-hmm. So when, and just for the benefit of folks who are observing, you can't go wrong, because it's really just about whatever tool you decide to use with your client. It's really about a kind of partly a hunch on your part and getting a sense of where your client's at and what would most support them. Don't overthink it. Don't feel confused, right? Just play with a few tools and see what you really enjoy doing, using, playing with. And then try some of those out. And over time, you're going to feel like, oh, I've got such a little toolbox. It kind of doesn't matter what my clients bring to me. I can help them. Right? So, Jamie, I'm kind of loving this idea of like staying with the lover in this piece of self-acceptance. And it feels like it might be fun to kind of look at like what I call the love bus, like who's on the love bus with you, all the parts that are on the bus with you as you're kind of entering into this journey. Like it feels to me like there's a lot of like almost conflicting parts, right? There's a part that wants the swipe and the part that just wants to meet someone in person, right? The part that's afraid of what might happen, who wants to protect you from rejection. Mm-hmm. All of these parts are there. And I just wonder if it might help to kind of pull those together and just to see what you want to be playing with, what you want to be listening to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. And I'm kind of also being drawn to what you said about taking up space.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. Cause I think it's like I wonder if part of it is like being proactive and saying, okay, this is who I am and what I want, and not just here's why it's easier to meet people in person. You don't have to be as proactive. You can just be there and it happens. Whereas like on an app, you have to specifically like sit down and be like, I'm going to swipe now. And then I'm going to talk to this person.
That's so much more. Yeah.
But like you said, it's all wrapped up. So, you know, wrapped up together. Yeah. So.
Okay, cool. But I love this because we can bring this in because I think that you're right. It does all kind of fit together. So when we think about the love bus, right? And it's just, these are all just playful metaphors, right? You can please feel free to change the names if you think, oh my God, that's so cheesy. I can never say that to a client. Then don't, right? Like don't kind of spit it out. Just work with what feels good to you. The way I like to kind of do this with folks is to just kind of, you know, literally like these are wheels. Right. We're not doing anything too fancy here. This is a steering wheel. So we're on the bus. This is Jamie's bus, right? And we want to kind of explore all the different parts, Jamie, that are here on your bus. And the destination is pretty clear, right? It sounds like it's about being able to swipe, but I'm wondering if the bigger goal here is actually about like finding a partner.
Yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate.
That's the ultimate goal.
Ultimate goal.
And so part of this can be, I think, quite fun to do is to break this into a goal that actually feels accessible right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm wondering if, just bringing this up so I make sure I'm sharing stuff that I've actually given you. So part of this can be about thinking about what feels like a doable destination right now, which might be to have fun dating.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To get to a place where you're enjoying the dating process.
Yeah. That's what I wrote down. I'd like to be excited about it. Like I like meeting new people, so it seems silly that I'm not excited about it. But anyways, exactly.
And is it about the using apps particularly?
I think so. Yeah. I.
Like it sounds like in person, you're good to go.
Yeah. I'm charming. I feel very good about my in-person abilities. I don't know why it's different on the apps, but it is.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So our destination is really about getting excited about using apps or feeling unencumbered or something. How do you want to phrase it?
Yeah, I'd say get being excited about talking to people on apps.
Okay. Love it. So what we want to do is just think about the different parts of you that are present here, right? If this is the destination we're heading to in our bus, who's taken up the seats, right? And there'll be parts here that are past, present, and future. There'll be different parts that you like and parts that you perhaps feel a bit like lukewarm to, and some that you're like, oh, I wish that wasn't here.
Mm.
So just kind of telling me a little bit more about like what's present for you. What are the parts of you that are around?
Well, I mean, certainly the past parts with past experiences of I guess interactions. Dating is not the right word for what I've done in the past, but past interactions and the baggage that's left behind.
Yeah. Can you name like the emotion that's attached to those past interactions?
Disappointment.
Yeah. Love it. Makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's the part that knows that does feel confident. Like I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Like
I'm you, right?
Yeah. Like when I do meet people in person, I'm like the person who talks to random strangers on the metro. Like I'm perfectly happy talking to people. And eager to meet more people now that it's slightly safer to do so. I like talking to people.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, having sex. That would be nice once in a while. And I guess there's, along with the past thing too, there's also with the sort of less desirable aspect of that, there's also the part of me that's like, we used to like meet men and have fun with them. And that was nice. Like, am I like, why can't I do that now?
Right. What's the emotion that's connected to that part?
I'm not sure what the emotion is, but in a time of my life when I was having more of these interactions, I felt more myself than I had previously. Like it was nice to just be like, oh, hey, and we can call dating. Like what? This is a thing I can do. This is a thing Jamie can do, does.
Yeah.
There are people who want me.
Yeah. And is that, I'm wondering if that is the emotion of desire or desirability, or if it's something else.
I mean, that's in there, certainly. It's, freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Openness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's authenticity. That's not an emotion.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. No, I totally get that.
So there's like expression.
Authentic expression. Yeah. Which feels like freedom all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm free to be myself. That's the best feeling ever.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. I wonder if there is a part of you that feels a bit resentful about having to use bloody apps when you're so much better at this in person.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And I wonder if you have some feelings about feeling resentful.
Well, I mean, it's not useful. Like, it's just the way it is, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's weird the way things are now.
But like, it's almost like part of this process, right, is about just self-acceptance, which is really about being with reality. Mm-hmm. Right? So I feel resentful about having to use the apps, and maybe I'm judging myself for feeling resentful. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I should be better at this.
Yeah. And I mean, like, for years, my friends have been saying, like, oh, you have to, I'm like, nah, I want to meet someone in person. And they're like, you have to get on the apps.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, I've now finally accepted that that was the case, but, yeah, it's a resistance to reality, to the way things are.
Yeah, completely. And it's just so freeing to say, oh, that's actually what's here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You don't have to be a good human to do this, right? It's just accepting, oh yeah, I've got those parts too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. I'm curious if there is a part of you that is kind of fantasizing about how this is all going to go in a positive way.
But there's a part of me that's fantasizing about how it's all going to go in a negative way, for sure. That's entirely what's happening. And I mean, I think, like, I could picture, like, some good scenarios, but they seem less, they definitely just seem like dreams and not what would happen. I have like all these different possible scenarios in my head of how it will go badly, which is of course fueled by the many, many horror stories you hear about online dating. Because that's what people don't talk about, the good stories. Like, they're not like on, you know, Instagram talking about, like, here are my amazing dating stories, or your friends. It's like, yeah, I wanted a good date. Whereas, like, the bad stuff is the stuff you hear about. So, that and whatever insecurities exist within me, all, yeah, it's all like, oh, well, this is going to happen. Well,
okay. So, cause I went to the positive end and you brought me back to how it's going to turn out for the worse.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. So let's just name it. What do you think is going to happen? What's the fantasy of how it doesn't work out?
The fantasy of it not working out is I'm not interested in anyone I meet, or they are superficially not really interested in me, only interested in a warm body, or, you know, dating 20 people. I think these are all going to ultimately come back to people not genuinely being interested in me.
Right. So they're only interested in one body. I'm going to put players as a kind of general phrasing of that, like, that you just meet players, right?
Yeah. And this whole, I think, online dating thing that's been created where you're like, you have access to so many people that you're always looking for the next better thing instead of just like getting to know the person in front of you.
Yeah. So they're not, you're not interested in any, oops, you're not interested in anyone there, and they want a warm body. No one sees you is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Genuinely understandable feeling concerns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about what happens if you do meet someone who you are interested in and it works out. What does that look like? What does that feel like?
I mean, that would look like having someone to hold on to in this kind of crappy current world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And do stuff with and not do things alone all the time. And just like, it's not that I don't have friends or support network, but like, I do feel like I spend a lot of my time supporting myself. And I think that looks like
exhausting.
Having someone else take on some of that.
And
be seen and valued.
And be seen in all of it, right? Mm-hmm. That's the hard bit. Is there a, when I say the word intimacy, is there a part of you that feels good about that, a little anxious about that? What comes up?
It strikes me as kind of a cheesy word, and I wonder if that's sort of like, I think, yeah, there might be some resistance to just like being the kind of person who, for whom that's a thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like in a, you know, healthy way.
Right.
But
yeah.
I mean, ultimately, I think, yes, I think that's probably what I want. It's just hard to admit that, maybe. Or imagine it.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine, not to say I can't imagine it. I can imagine in like a daydream kind of way, but believe that it might happen. Imagine it in like a, this is a real thing that could happen kind of way.
Yeah. So how would you describe like your relationship with the part of you that maybe wants but doesn't quite know what intimacy looks like?
It feels very new and not new in the sense that it's like totally new, it hasn't existed, but my recognition, acknowledgement of it is new. So it's sort of like, feels sort of small and it's like a little thing over here and all the other stuff is big things up here, like the little tiny plant and all the weeds are here. So
I'm just gonna put it in the little small letters over here so we know what that means. Yeah, there's a part of you that's like, oh, it's a bit new to that.
Yeah, it's like
vulnerable intimacy. Right?
Sorry?
It's vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It feels like something that like other people do.
Yeah. So it's kind of a part of your self-acceptance that's like in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen some new shoots yet, quite yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Is there anything else that you want to add in? And I guess I'm thinking about what are the parts of you that come up when you're dating?
We had resentment somewhere, right?
Yep. I think so. Oh, was it more resentful of having to use the apps? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's also resentment of people who've not chosen me in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that covers it. I mean, yeah, there's a growing part of, a new growing part of me that does think it's possible to find someone. Just a little tiny, that's a new little tiny thing too.
Yeah. The possibility of meeting someone.
Get that to be bigger.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if there's anything else you want to add. Anything else that just feels like, I'm just thinking about like the process of dating and how it can teach you things, right? Like discernment. And, you know, I know for me, I'm a happy ending dating app story in that I met my current partner, I guess you could call him, through a dating app about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when it was deeply shameful to even be on them, and no one talked about it and they were very clunky. But having gone through that process, there was this sort of like, oh, I can sort of treat this like a job, even though it's not a job. Like there was a part of me that was slightly removed from it. I wonder if that comes up for you too.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, it's definitely, I don't actually know what I want.
Mm.
And I'm not going to like figure it out sitting here on the couch thinking about it. So, I mean, it's an opportunity to really figure that out and explore what kind of relationship I want, what kind of person I want.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, that's a whole vast thing that could be really fun and exciting to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah. And we need someone else to bounce that off so that we can kind of go, oh, no, not you.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
I just want to share my, very short Tim story. Tim looked amazing on paper. It should have been like a total love match. And I met him and just went, no. And I was like, what is even happening? This is unfair. The universe has cursed me. But it was like everything felt like I was so excited to meet him. And then just a no. So it's like we get to figure out what we want. We get to also like be surprised.
Hmm. Yeah. Like things I think I want. And then I'm like, oh, actually that's maybe not.
Sorry. I love that you kind of resonate with that. And it sounds like there's a part of you that's kind of like open to see who shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's going to be essential. In fact,
it's just
trying on some clothes I wouldn't normally wear.
Love that. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Just to see if it fits and if you want to, if it's a long-term hold kind of.
Yeah.
Jumper. Yeah. Love it. So I just want to reflect this back to you, Jamie, and just to sort of see, who's on this bus that's taking you to a level of excitement in using these dating apps. So there's a part of you that is disappointed about past interactions. There's a part that wants to find someone to hold and share life with, a part that's excited about the freedom of authentic expression. There's a part that worries that you're not going to find anyone you're interested in. There's a part that worries that they'll only want a warm body. There's a part that's eager to meet people, that's good at this. There's a part looking for intimacy. A part looking to be open to see who shows up. There's a part that sees this as a real opportunity to explore what you want from a relationship. There's a part that's resentful about having to use these apps and a little bit of judgment around your resentfulness. There's a part that sees the real possibility of meeting someone. There's the part that is charming and confident in person. There's a part that feels some resentment at not being chosen in the past. A part that's worried that no one will see me. And there is a part that is ready for some sexy time.
Mm-hmm.
Does that kind of feel like who's on the bus here?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is there any part that's here that you feel like it's really hard to accept that that's there?
I mean, the intimacy and sexy time parts feel connected and a little, that's where like the kind of the resistance is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, oh, surprise if they're there. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So those are the parts that feel a little bit, you feel some resistance with. Mm-hmm. And so how can you like take care of those parts?
I mean, it does feel like a question of acceptance, like saying it's okay to be someone who wants those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really feels like an identity issue and like, and not being overly independent. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So it's something about like, yeah, just saying it's okay to want some help. It seems like a weird way of putting it, but I mean, that's kind of what's coming up. Like,
yeah, it's more than okay. It's like, yeah, I just want that.
Yeah.
Want that. What kind of happens in you when you just say that to yourself? Like, yeah, I want that. I want intimacy. I want sexual connection.
I feel a slight rising of anxiety in the chest.
Yeah.
And a slight urge to cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Cause I think that probably pokes at my loneliness. So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And so can you offer yourself that it's okay to want this? Okay to want this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think I need to practice feeling okay with that because it feels new and yeah. Yeah, I think, and yeah, I guess maybe just like, yeah, it is an acceptance issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, being one of those people, which is everyone, ultimately, yeah. Like, it's a human part of the human condition, but like, just being a person and who wants those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is an acceptance, sort of self-love, self-acceptance thing.
Yeah. And I just offer, like, one of the reasons we don't call the lover, even though it's the lover, we don't call it self-love. Sometimes that can feel like a really big standard to get to.
Mm.
But self-acceptance, it's like, oh, I can kind of, I don't have to love it, but I can accept that I have this.
Mm-hmm.
I have this in me.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, as you start kind of taking some small doable steps, right? There's no great rush to playing with, or just anticipating getting on the apps in a bit more of an active way. I wonder if this process just helps you to feel like more resourced around all of the different parts that are with you in this.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's helpful to feel like, just the recognition or the acknowledgement that like, these are the things that I'm taking into this with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that although there are some things that, that appear to be holding me back, there are also things that are supporting me.
Yeah.
And like, obviously this is all totally normal and everyone goes into things with different stuff. Mm-hmm. Many different passengers on their bus. So,
yeah,
I think it takes the pressure off to like do it right or yeah. Naturally it would come back to doing things right with me. That's my thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually that's interesting. Cause I think it's like, well, we have to, it's like, you should know what you want and, you know, figure out like, what's your policy and how long will you talk to them before meeting? Right. And then like, where are you going to meet? And then like, when are you going to sleep with them? And like all the things, it's like, ah, so, yeah. And like have your shit together and blah, blah, blah. And all this kind of stuff. So I think this takes the pressure off of, doing it the right way or like the perfect way or whatever. And just being like, okay, here's what I'm bringing to the table. And that's the way it is.
Well, and you're intuitively talking about imperfect compassion, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the perfect way to experiment with that inner critic that's always saying you have to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like you may even, in terms of like getting your shit together, like you may want to just think about what would that actually look like for me though, right? Like maybe it's about deciding how you're going to talk to yourself through this process,
mm-hmm.
in a way that is compassionate and allows you to just figure this out as you go. And maybe you find there are some, I love that you called them policies, like there's some T's and C's, right? Around day-to-day meeting. What is that? What would feel good to you? And it's not to get it right. It's to take care of you.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. It's not to do it right. It's to take care of me. That's good. That's good. That's helpful.
Yeah. And you're allowed to have fun.
Yeah.
Right. You're damn charming and sexy. Like let's.
Oh, geez. Come on.
Yeah. And you know, even I'm just thinking about some of the other tools in the compass that might help you. Like returning to the good old cheese sandwich of a vision board. Like sometimes that can be really fun. Just mm-hmm. as a way of, you know, thinking about how do I want to show up to this process?
Mm.
Right. Finding the words and the images that kind of speak to you and just can act as a sort of, a way of, sort of depicting why this matters to you.
Yeah.
Never about anybody else. Right. Mm-hmm. Even when we're dating, it's like all about how am I interpreting this experience of the other person? And that helps you to feel the feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea actually. Mm. I think that would also make me feel more hopeful.
Yeah.
Like this is a thing that's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Entirely possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And deeply courageous.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. This is
thank
beautiful.
You.
Yeah, beautiful bus. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. So folks, I hope Jamie's just so freaking self-aware, which is wonderful, right? And sometimes clients kind of aren't. And we're just prompting like, what about this? What about that? Is that there? And we're just sort of drawing some stuff out, but it's all about like, let's see what's here and notice that there was no, like for me, I'm like, yeah, this looks like a really damn healthy old bus. You know, like this feels very human and so understandable and completely representative of Jamie's experience. So nothing's gone wrong. Nothing needs to be fixed. This process is more about helping Jamie see that there are all of these parts here. Can she be with those? Is there any part that there's resistance to? what can you do to just bring that in? Just to see that it's okay that that's there, even maybe if you don't want it to be there. Can you make a little room for it on the bus? Yeah. And we don't get to a place, like the point here, right, is not to get to a place where there's a solution or a fix or whatever. It's more about, does the client feel more resourced than when we started? Do they feel like they know a bit more about themselves? They feel a bit like, oh, I think that might help me. This has given me something I can take into the next step, whatever that looks like. Yeah. Does anyone have any questions about anything that came up as they were watching or anything you want to check in around? All okay. How many of us are going to be like holding Jamie in this amazing, like, having fun dating vision? Yeah, cool. So fun. Anyone else? We've probably got time for someone else if you want to be a coach. Leave so in the chat and we'll choose somebody else. And it is totally okay.
Yeah.
If everyone's going, oh no, I think I've got enough. Okay, Melissa.
Okay.
Bottom line, your current challenge for us.
Bottom line is I don't know whether the complexities logistically and otherwise around my current relationship means it's going to survive.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
And I met him on a Tinder 4 years ago. So you just don't get that in dating app. But yeah. I don't know if it's, I, it's getting so complex. I don't know if it's, if it can be on him.
Okay. And so tell me about, like, what is that bringing up for you in terms of like making that a challenge or a dilemma?
I feel like I'm, I can't decide if I know in my gut that it's too hard and I should make a call, or if I more discerningly is I need more time to know, and we actually need to, and I'm feeling some external friend saying, you know, this is not going to work,
right?
You should just make a decision, and I don't feel like it's not going to work yet at all.
Right.
In my gut. I feel like it's going to work, but it's complicated. So my healthy self is kind of, I'm not ready to make a decision yet and see how this goes, but there's a part of me that's like, oh, you're delaying the inevitable.
Mm. And so I'm just curious to know, like, you've said a couple of things here that you don't think that it's time to end it. And your healthy self is saying this isn't time for a decision.
Yeah.
So what's competing with that?
I don't really know. Part of what is competing with that is am I not making a decision because I don't want to be alone? Like if this ends, I'll never find another relationship like this.
Right. Yeah.
And so part of me really wants this to work.
Right.
I think. Yeah.
And so when you think about, I'm just going to bring up the compass. When you think about the compass, like where does this feel like it's sitting for you?
A little bit of self-trust, I think.
Mm.
Maybe, and self-worth, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm, I'm feeling that too, yeah. And if you had to think about, like, what would help you the most right now, what would it be? What is it that you want?
I want to know what the answer is.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I want to skip to the end and know what the answer is, and But I'm not ready to go to the end because that's not the end yet.
Right. Well, we don't know if it's the end, right?
I'm about to go into an experiment with him.
Right.
Move to a country where he lives. Yep. And then there's all of the complications that I can only stay for 90 days. And then trying to navigate a long-term relationship between Spain and Australia. And, you know, so if it goes really well in the next 3 months, what does that mean? So,
yeah.
I've already wanted to go really well. And he's now moving into, we need to get you a long-term visa and you'll be part of my business. And I'm thinking, yeah, but I want to go home.
Yeah.
So, and I want to be with him as well. So I guess there's the trusting myself that is this just going to be too complex because I can't live in two countries at the same time?
No, I've tried that myself. You can't. I can confirm that. Yeah.
And I really want to be with him. But do I want to invest my entire life in Spain? And I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
But right now, no.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, in this, so this is, you're entering a period of liminal space.
Yeah.
For the next 90 days.
Yeah. Well, yeah, from the end of September, I leave here and I go there for 3 months. And we're both going there kind of with the knowledge is, let's test this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder if we start to think about this from the perspective of how can I take care of myself over the next 4 months leading up to Spain and then while you're in Spain? Like what's the, and it feels to me like it's in this place of like, of boundaries almost.
Yeah.
Like what's the boundary you want to put around yourself so that you, and it's boundaries for me are very, very different from conflict because they're nothing to do with anyone else, right? Boundaries are about this is what I'm going to do to take care of myself in the event that this happens. In the event something happens, this is what I will do to take care of myself. So I'm just wondering if it feels like it would be helpful to explore how you can take care of yourself over the next little while, knowing that it's liminal. There's no definitive answer right now.
Yeah, it is. I'm sort of trying to practice the perspective that I'm going, this is my sabbatical. I'm going to do what feels good for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do, I don't know, what I just, the boundary is to know what's good for me.
You don't have to come up with a boundary on your own. You're okay. I got you. Okay. But let's agree that it's a boundary thing that we want to do. Because, and the reason I'm suggesting this with you, Melissa, and just for everyone watching as well, I think we could go into the self-trust stuff. And that could probably, be quite helpful as well. Like to look at, you know, how you're feeling about different options and looking at how you want to discern those things. But given that this is a liminal space where you literally could choose any number of different options, it feels to me like the most important thing right now is how do you get to take care of you while you're going into this, knowing that whatever happens, you'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it is a boundary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but just to be clear for everybody, like boundaries are all about us and our behavior. So they're not really about anyone else. So it's it's always about what we choose to do to take care of ourselves. And by the way, this may differ from how other people teach boundaries. And I'm just going to do, this is how it works for me, because I feel like this is my life's work. and learning how to put boundaries in place and really honor them has been the thing for me. So one of the reasons that we don't put boundaries in place is because we think we'll lose something. We fear that if I take care of me, somehow someone else has to lose. Right? This is why it's very connected to self-worth. So self-worth is all about the space we allow ourselves to take up, the territory we allow ourselves to live in, what's okay and what's not okay for us. And it's really driven by a spirit of advocacy for ourselves and our needs. So the warrior, it's literally the warrior. It's very earthy. It's like a line in the sand, you know? And I talk about boundaries as using the metaphor of a garden, because we can, you know, gardens change and evolve over time. So do our boundaries. This is not about ultimatums. It's not about deciding that we're trying to control other people. It's very much about what we do and don't do to take care of ourselves. Okay, so let's explore this, Melissa, with your current situation. And the way that I like to kind of set boundaries or explore boundaries is to always do it from the place of feeling pretty neutral. So I don't try and do it just after an argument with someone, or if something's going really wrong and I'm like, I'm going to show you, I'm going to set a boundary. Like, it's very much from a place of kind of as neutral as we can get to, right? Because that allows us to access our healthy self as much as possible. So, and it's very much a kind of like who, what, how, when, why kind of approach here. So we start with who, like who is the person that you are setting the boundary with? Who's the relationship with?
With myself?
Yes. Bingo. Yeah. Sometimes it's with someone else, but they don't have to know about it. And it could be that it's about the you that is in Spain for 90 days.
It's with me. It's also partly with Antonio, but that is with me.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do this as Melissa in Spain.
Yeah.
That version of you who's going to Spain, because she's outside of this environment, right? Outside of work. It's a very, you know, it's.
I'm going with nothing. I'm finishing my job and I'm going to Spain.
Exactly. Yeah. This is, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
So what is it that doesn't feel good right now? When you think about Melissa in Spain, what do you imagine could go wrong or would be the thing that you are doing or saying or being that doesn't feel good to you?
The uncertainty doesn't feel good. I've started to, I'm afraid of being alone and lonely in Spain.
Right. So, because this is the thing, right? The uncertainty is going to be there anyway, because that 90 days is kind of an experiment.
Yeah.
You're in the liminal space. So I wonder if it's more about how you are thinking and feeling about the uncertainty while you're there.
Yeah.
If the main protective belief is I can't be alone or I don't want to be alone.
And it was, I think it was that, and I've taken action around that. I come with two plans. One is I'm going to go walk the Camino and backpack and because Antonio has his looking after his parents and his children and many things. And I'm afraid that I'm going to be there. And he's, so I've had a conversation, said, well, I can go and walk the Camino for 5 weeks or I can spend 2 weeks doing a smaller hike. And he said, no, 5 weeks is too far. Let's, and we agreed we're going to rent something together and he's going to move in. So I kind of took an advocacy saying, yeah, I have two choices. I'm going to travel and this is my sabbatical, yeah, and I'll see you when I can, or we're, yeah, going to move in together. And he said, we're going to move in together. I'm going to tell my son. So, yeah, and I'm feeling more resourced because what now we're kind of clearing.
Yeah.
We had, yeah, a conversation about it because I don't want to be on my own. If I'm going to be on my own, I'm going to go do something.
Yeah.
So that feels better. Yeah. And but now he's moved into, well, we need to get you a long-term visa to stay for longer. And I thought, oh no, middle of January, I'm going to Australia, right? I'm going to Australia. I might come back again, but I'm going home.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, now it's just, it's wanting to be, the boundaries, I want to be all in and really make it be together, not be lonely, explore, learning Spanish, traveling, having a wonderful time.
Yeah.
But I've got like this death nail at the end thinking, but it's going to end because I'm, yeah, going to, does that make sense?
And I just want to just reassure you, Melissa, like all relationships end.
Yeah.
Because someone leaves or someone dies.
Yeah.
Right. So what I really just don't want you to get into is this boundary
with it already.
Yeah. Right? Where you're trying to control the universe. Right? Because no person, place, or thing gives you security, gives you safety. That comes from you. Right? No person, no place, and no thing gives you security. It's totally mobile. So you can feel that security in Spain. You can feel it in Australia. You can feel it with him or without him. You can feel it in the possession of a job or not. And it comes from really tapping into those healthy self resources. Am I creating a life I like? Right? So this, Melissa in Spain may only be in Spain for 90 days and then you may make the decision, this is too complex, not going to work. Or you may make the decision, oh, I love it here, I can't leave, I don't want to go back to Australia, or I'm just going to go for a short holiday and come back. Or option D, we don't know yet, right? So it feels like the boundary is more about how are you going to support yourself to feel secure whatever happens. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I know you're going to the hell, but how do I do that?
The boundary is, I think the boundary is the self-worth, trusting myself. I will make the decision at the right time. And right now I want to be there and in the liminal space. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because wouldn't it be a total like shame if you knowing something of the energy and effort and organization and logistics it's taken to allow yourself to have this dream experience of 90 days in Spain with your Spanish lover? I mean, come on, this is a story for the grandchildren, no matter where they live, right? So wouldn't it be a total shame if you spent that 90 days going, am I in? Am I out? What's happening? Am I lonely? Am I not?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it be amazing to just be there?
Be there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's the thing, like the what's happening now that isn't feeling great is that you're kind of not present. You're sort of diving into trying to figure out how it all works out.
Yeah. And I'm too many people saying, well, what's my mother saying? Just come home. This is too complicated.
Right.
Inevitably, you're not going to be able to make this work.
Right.
I don't know that yet.
And this is the thing, right? Even if it doesn't work, even if on day five, you're like, oh my God, this is so over. You still get to have this time.
And I still get to have a 3-month holiday in Spain and coronavirus.
You still get to have this with all the constraints and all the confusion and the complexity. You still get to have it.
Yeah.
You still get to take care of yourself in this way.
I think I'm a bit worried that when I get there, I'm going to be disappointed if I just end up being afraid of everything and then self-soothing with Maltesers, right? There's a part of me that thinks this is the big adventure in Spain with Spanish lover, and I'm going to just revert to sitting and eating Maltesers watching Game of Thrones when I feel lonely.
So the thing that is when you think about yourself in Spain, the thing that is not working for you is it feels like it's old beliefs, old behaviors, self, like shadow comforty kind of stuff that takes you away from the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like it's an accurate kind of,
Yeah.
Okay. Protective. Right. I'll be lonely. I'll be lonely. Disappointed, etc. Shadow comforts. Taking you out of the experience. Cool. So when this comes up currently, what do you tend to do in your current environment?
Right now, 2 weeks staycation in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Eat Maltesers, scroll on the internet.
Well, and when you're doing all of that, like, then what happens?
Then I feel disappointed in myself that I'm just kind of waiting.
Right, right. So you're not really even present to your current staycation in Switzerland?
Mm-mm.
No. And what do you make that mean about you?
There's a part of me that wants to say I just need a rest. And there's a part of me, scapegoaty, that's just filling up the days with mindless stuff, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm already in liminal space.
Yes, yeah.
I'm already in liminal space.
Well, and that's the thing, right? So you could just transplant what you're doing now to Spain.
Yeah, and that's a thing I'm afraid of. I might end up
just doing that. Yeah. So this, you could see this as a great chance to experiment with doing things slightly differently.
Right now, because always I've moved so many countries in my life. You move to another country, you expect you're going to be a new you.
Not. That is a fantasy, right?
In different countries, it's always run into myself.
Exactly. You always take yourself with you. No person, place, or thing can give you security.
Yeah.
So the current response is, it sounds like you feel disappointed in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How does that manifest? Like, how do you know you're disappointed in yourself?
I've got no energy.
Do you speak nastily to yourself?
No, I don't. I do a bit of, I've just got no energy. I just like, oh, it's too hard. It's too hard.
Right. Yeah. You know what? It could be that you do need a rest.
And then I would like to actually be taking a rest, not drafting stuff for LinkedIn about a future possible coaching business that I'd spend 5 hours drafting a post and thinking, why am I just not going for a hike? It's kind of that feeling.
Yeah. I'm doing too much and not enough.
But it's not, even when I'm productive, I'm not productive. I'm wasting time perfecting stuff.
I want to come back to this because the secret to that is intention. Really embracing intention in your days. But we'll come back to this a little bit. So what is the boundary you want to set? Because this is going to be related to this. What's the boundary? When you are feeling this, you're noticing these protective beliefs coming up, the shadow comforts are taking you out of the experience. What do you want to do or say to take care of your own needs?
I want to nourish myself.
And what's the easiest way you can do that?
Drink water.
Mm-hmm. And then what?
And walk. That's how I usually cope with it. But again, that's a bit of an avoidance. I just walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
It becomes a way of avoiding the procrastinating behaviors in the house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I go just go for a walk and it feels healthier, but it's avoiding just being on my own and with yeah. nothing.
Yeah. What would that be like if you could just be on your own?
And do nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe just do something that's a bit gentle and nourishing.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What could it be?
Read a book.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like to cook?
No. But I could learn to cook. It would probably be better than eating Maltesers for dinner.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be something to do, yeah. to try out.
Yeah.
Are there places in Switzerland where you are now that you would like to see before you go?
Yeah.
Yeah? I'm just going to say touristy stuff.
Yeah.
The people you want to see before you go?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you like to do to take care of yourself? Like, I know I just love a massage. If anyone says, do you want a massage? I'm saying yes before they get their words out. What do you like to do like that? Do you like a massage or a facial or pedicure?
I think anybody touches me. No. And my boyfriend's a physio and I've never had a massage in my life from him, which is really annoying. Hike. I like to go out in nature and hike.
Do you like to swim?
I do cold water swimming all through the winter. Yep. But I haven't been in the summer.
Right. So maybe you could swim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could swim once a week.
I'd love you to spend some time. You may want to vision board this just as something to do, right? As some funsies. What do you want your life to look like? Mm-hmm. In Spain, maybe even in Australia. Mm-hmm. Like when you imagine yourself in that place that you're going to, mm-hmm. what do you want that to look like?
And I have a vision board that I did.
Make another one.
Make another one. Because I think part of it is wanting to be at the other end. And it's not just the relationship. It's also, what am I going to do with my life?
Exactly.
And I want to be there already. I want to know. And even coaching.
Yeah. You're not there.
Do I want to be a full-time coach? I don't even know if I want to be a full-time coach, but I've just quit my job. So it's sort of.
But this is the thing.
I'm not there.
You're not there, right? You're not there. And there isn't a there. Right? Like how we live our days is how we live our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Right. We always think we're going somewhere to some destination and that's going to fix everything until the truth hits. No person, place or thing can give me that.
Yeah.
It's all in me and it can happen today.
Yeah.
So one of the things you can think about is who are you in 2 years time, right? What does Melissa in 2 years time look like? Envision board that. Think about if in 2 years you have spent that 2 years living from your healthy self, what does that look like for you? And let yourself be surprised. Mm-hmm. But that's a way of like bringing some intention to where you're going.
Yeah.
Because what happens is when we don't live from intention or from a vision or just from a sense of I can make a decision, I can just choose. Right. Like just trust. I can choose. Make any number of choices. And whatever the consequences are, I can be with those. And I can always change my mind or choose again. When we don't live like that, when we don't live from a place of like just leading our own lives, what happens is it just feels like everything happens to us. And so then what happens is when everyone else gets involved and mum says, we'll just come home because this is going to be too complicated And Antonia says, well, I think you should stay for two, you can go for a hike for 2 weeks, whatever. We kind of go, oh, okay, you seem to have the answers for me, so I'll just listen to you, until you get to a point where there's competing voices and then you just feel like it's too hard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So no person, place, or thing can give you what you want.
Yeah.
That comes from you. And just starting to envision that, like going out and buying a ton of different magazines, and a big poster board, knowing that you can burn it in a week, right? You just take a photo of it, it goes out with the stuff when you're packing. But the idea is that you allow yourself to start to bring that sovereign, the part of you that can lead your life and make choices and know what's good for you. Just let that part of you can make that vision board. Yeah. So in terms of I will nourish myself. Mm-hmm. That can start right now. Mm-hmm. You get that right. Like you don't have to wait for Spain.
Yeah,
I do that now.
Yeah.
And part of this is going to be about experimenting with things that you think, oh, I'm not that sort of person. We don't even know that yet. Right? Like, We don't really know who Melissa, living from her healthy self, even is. She might love a massage. Who knows? Right? So this could be super fun if you let it. Because you get to experiment all the different ways. Like just having that boundary, I will nourish myself. Whenever the shit comes in, no, we're not indulging all of that. We're going to nourish. What does nourishment feel like right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing that is possibly going to happen, because I know from what I know of you, Melissa, I know you have a real good streak of perfectionism in here, right? Mm-hmm. Is that you're going to possibly think, well, I'm not nourishing myself perfectly enough, mm-hmm. so it doesn't count.
Mm-hmm. Or you did that today.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is the thing to really hold on to, is that in the same way that how we live our days is how we live our lives, it's in the tiniest decision, the smallest moments, that things change. Our relationship to ourself changes.
Yeah.
If you have 3 days in a row where you like plan out what you're going to eat that day and then you just follow that plan for 3 days in a row and you notice like all the ways that you were really tempted to like add in all the other stuff that you know isn't that great for you and doesn't really nourish your body. Like you will find out how you feel. As soon as you start going off that plan, you start to see, oh, here's the part of me that can't be alone on my own and just wants to stuff that with something.
And it's a big part. It's a buffer. I just want a buffer.
And as soon as you can sit with yourself in that moment, instead of buffering, you'll meet yourself.
That's the bit. And I don't have to wait to Spain to start that.
Nope.
Right. I'll be a healthy self when I get to Spain and I can surf every day.
Oh, this helps already with
you. How you live your life is how you live it, because right now I'm not.
But that's the thing. Your healthy self is already with you going, hey, I want to nourish you. It's the part of you that said, I can nourish myself. Right? It's here. It's with you.
Yeah.
You can start talking out loud to it. You live by yourself. It's all good.
Yep.
I do that a lot, right? I talk to myself like as a we. We're not doing that today. You know, it's okay, sweetheart. I know you're tired, but we're not doing that today. Ice cream for dinner is not a good choice for us. And it's totally okay that you want that, but let's not do that. Let's do something better, because this is going to feel so much nicer when you're going to sleep and you know that you can feel proud that you took care of yourself. You nourished yourself. Right? So it's this kind of like self-talk in the moment, in the tiniest moments. Mm-hmm. The most beautiful boundary that your healthy self has offered you. Mm-hmm. If you'd only do this and you'd like go all in with it, your whole life will change.
Yeah, I know.
I know, you know.
And
all you need is a couple of days.
Why can't I do it?
All you need is a couple of days in a row where you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So saying, why can't I do it is the wrong question. Mm-hmm. How can I do it today? I wonder what I can do this afternoon to nourish myself.
Yeah. Okay.
And do it so you feel proud of yourself, right? So you give yourself that feeling of comfort and joy and feeling nourished. Mm-hmm. It's where, you know, self-worth is all about, when we're talking about the space taken up, it's all about like our literal resources, time, money, energy. So if you're spending that time, money, energy on things that fill you up and help you create the life you like, then it's going to feel so much freaking better. So you've got this magnificent boundary. I will nourish myself. Mm-hmm. I'd love you to find like 5, 6 ways that you can make that visible and real for yourself in some way. Maybe you put it on the bathroom mirror. It's a screensaver on your phone. You make a pretty screensaver. It's your desktop screensaver. I will nourish myself. Just give it to yourself. Mm-hmm. Let it be the thing that guides you. What, if you do this, what will you gain?
Freedom.
Yeah. Freedom. Freedom for or from what?
I think freedom to be who I am, to know, to find my way, how to find me. I don't, yeah.
So yeah. The part of you that just offered that to yourself is your healthy self.
Yeah.
The freedom to be, find me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like freaking jackpot, Mel. That's it. That's what we all want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, what's currently feeling like the biggest barrier to that boundary, if anything?
The biggest barrier is empty space.
In the empty space, you fill that up with, the stuff.
With scrolling or whatever.
Right.
Scrolling, running. I fill it up so I don't have to be in empty space. I fill it up with busyness or consuming.
Amazing. That is such good information. Isn't that like the best information to know? Mm-hmm. Oh, so if I've got tons of empty space, then I just do all kinds of shit. So this is what I mean by about intention, right? If you can spend a little bit of time, even after this call, just setting an intention for this afternoon. Like, what are a couple of things you can do? And maybe it's as simple as, I'm going to go to the supermarket and buy some stuff and cook it for myself, prepare it and cook it for myself tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to make an arrangement to meet up with a friend sometime this week. And you start doing that each morning, right? While you're on your break where this empty space is with you, start making some fun plans for yourself.
Yeah.
Give yourself some options, right? Do I want to do this today or that today? What I tend to do on group holidays, I'm super fun to holiday with, just FYI, is we all put like suggestions for activities in a bowl and then we just take turns at drawing them out. You may want to do that, you know, and then everyone, it's like no one gets to say what we're doing. It's just, we leave it up to God kind of thing. But you could do that, right? With your ways of nourishing yourself with the things you want to do over the next couple of weeks. And you're not piling stuff on. It's like, oh, I cut something in the morning, something in the afternoon. So that you're managing this empty space. You're taking care of that. How will you know you've honored this boundary for yourself?
I'll do the things I commit to.
Yeah.
I'll actually something really small.
Yeah.
Because I'm a perfectionist, and once thing goes wrong, I just.
Yeah.
But if I commit to doing something for myself, because I always commit to something, and then I think, oh no, but it's okay tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Right.
I'm going to eat healthy today. Oh, but I'll just have Maltesers for breakfast.
Right.
Tomorrow, and I'll run 10K. So it's all okay. It all adds up.
Right.
So
this is the thing, right? That's not nourishing.
No.
That's letting yourself off the hook.
That's filling me through and letting myself off the hook.
So it's like you commit to doing it, doing the things you say, the things you plan, right?
Yeah.
And when you're tempted to go off your plan,
that's
when you sit with yourself. What am I doing here? What's the belief here? What's the fear? What's the risk? You've now got awesome tools to help you. You can call a coach that you're in your pod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can coach yourself. You can figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? You've got an incredibly powerful, healthy self. As soon as you close your eyes and tune in, she's right there.
Yeah.
She's offered you all of this. And it's like an imperfect, compassionate practice. Especially for your inner critic. It's an imperfect, compassionate practice. All that the answer is I will nourish myself. Today I'll nourish myself. I'll figure out how I can do that. I'll plan for it. I'll make a vision board of what I want it to look like when I'm doing this full time. I'm going to treat this like my job. And, you know, one of the things that came up this morning around a boundary is, I don't know if you love like validation, but you could buy yourself some like gold stars or smiley face stickers, right? And every time you do it, like every time you do something on your plan, you give yourself a gold star. Make it super fun and playful and childlike. Don't take it seriously, but it's like, you know, let yourself enjoy the process, you know? How does that sound to you, Melissa?
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
It sounds fun. If I just have one gold star, rather, I've got a list of what I'm supposed to be doing each day, long list, and I never get
I would go through that while you're having your break. I would go through that and just decide what can wait. What can wait? Does this activity feel like it's nourishing to me? No, don't do it. Because what it will probably do is derail you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. There's a fear there. If I'm not doing stuff that's productive, then I'm wasting my time, and then I don't do anything anyway. I'm wasting my time.
Exactly. And that is like a faulty thought, right? If I don't do anything, then I'm not productive.
And I don't do anything anyway. Yeah.
This is your full-time job now. You're on holiday. I will nourish myself.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you have to do. Okay. All right. And the thing is, right, the stuff will come up, and so you can tune back into your healthy self. The smallest decisions you make to decide I'm going to nourish myself in this moment rather than all my old shitty behaviors and thinking, it will change. It will change your relationship with yourself because you're starting to build trust with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you give yourself a gold star, and that little notebook of gold stars starts to represent something very precious. Beautiful example. Thank you so much, Melissa. Thank you, Jamie. Here's a crack. I know this was a longer call than usual, but what I'm hoping is that you get to see, like, this probably took maybe half an hour to 20 minutes to do each of these tools. So in a session with clients, you've got quite a lot to play with. But the idea here is that, you know, you're just getting right in there. You're reflecting back to the client every time you hear the healthy self, right? That sounds very healthy to me. That sounds very cool. Let's keep going with that, right? So you're letting the client see, oh, these seeds are in the soil for them. How do they get the shoots growing? Right. So the invitation for your practice pods is to like go through some stuff that's showing up for you. Like look at your dilemmas that you documented today. How do you want to get coached on those in your practice pods? You can try some of the tools on your own. You can take a specific question to your practice pod and say, I really want to be coached, like using the heart map, or I really want you to help me set a boundary here. And then ask specifically for that. Or you can go through the same process that we did today where let's just take a problem and then we'll figure out what might be fun to use, right? But yeah, just let yourself enjoy the process of playing with these tools. Any questions from anyone about anything today or anything that's sitting on top? You're all desperate for lunch. Okay, I'm gonna call it a day. I will see you all next week. Ruth, can I just say you're looking so glamorous lying there in the sunshine in your mini. Really take my eyes off you, darling.
Yes, thank you. There's a little spot of sun on the carpet. I need a bit of sunshine, quite frankly. So
love it. Okay, so let's all be as glamorous as Ruth today. Take care of yourselves and I'll see you next week. Okay. All right. Bye everyone.
Bye.